gospel lesson and sermon text for today, it comes from John chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. What you need to know about heaven. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's house. If it were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? When everything is ready, I will come and get you, so that you will always be with me where I am, and you know the way to where I am going. No, we don't know, Lord, Thomas said. We have no idea where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. If you have really known me, you would have known my Father. From now on, you don't know him and have seen him. From now on, you do know him and have seen him. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, I have been with you all this time, Philip, and yet still you don't know who I am. Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father, so why are you asking me to show him to you? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father's who lives in me, does his work through me. Just believe that I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. Or at least believe because the work you have seen me do. I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same work I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. Amen. Praise be to God. Praise be to God. Jesus, the way to the Father. All you need to know about heaven. At an Easter morning, approximately 10 years ago, four neighboring churches in Columbia, South Carolina were sponsoring a sunrise service. Some 300 folks gathered in the front yard of a Baptist church with coats buttoned snugly against the early morning chill. Jimmy was sitting in his car as close to the crowd as possible with the window rolled down. Thank God for the PA system that enabled him to hear. His wife had driven him to the service because of terminal cancer. Jimmy had not been able to come to church for months. He knew this would be his last Easter on earth, so he was not about to miss this service. Why was Jimmy so determined to be there? Because he wanted to hear the good news about the eternal life one more time. He wanted to be assured that Jesus Christ arose from the grave and blazed a path to heaven for every believer. Death is the last greatest enemy that we must face. Jesus Christ is the only one who had died and then returned to tell us what is on the other side. Whereas 80 years is a long time to spend on earth, one is still practically a rookie in heaven after 1,000 years. Therefore, it makes sense to give some attention to heaven. Do you know that it's politically incorrect to preach about heaven? The cultural referees say it is a hopeless sentimentality. Hollywood and the media generally teach that this world is all there is. According to their version, you better get all you can get now because your death is just like that of dogs and cats. A little four-year-old boy who was walking on the beach with his mother came upon a dead seagull. The little boy asked, "Mommy, what happened to him?" She said, "He died and went to heaven." Now the little boy pondered that after a moment and then asked, "And did God just throw him back?" Some of the toughest questions about heaven have to do with animals, and I do not have any biblical answers. The secular humanists suggest that we try to avoid even thinking about death. Just keep on having plastic surgery, coloring your hair, and denying every sign of aging. If you really want to make a mess out of a social cocktail party, ask this question. Have any of you given any thought to your coming death? A Sunday school teacher was quizzing her kids last Easter about the resurrection story. One of the questions she asked was this: why did Jesus arise from the dead? One bright little boy replied, "Because it wouldn't have been much of a story if he hadn't." That little boy is absolutely right. Everything about our faith depends on the resurrection. Without the resurrection, Jesus would be nothing more than a dead hero. And the history books are full of them. But the good news of the resurrection is that Jesus Christ has blazed a path for every believer into eternity. And even now, this risen power of Christ has been loosed upon the world. Using John's Gospel and the book of Revelations as our guide, let me declare four truths about heaven. First, Jesus assured us that there will be accommodations in heaven for every believer. In my Father's house are many abiding places, Jesus said. The old King James Version refers to many mansions in heaven, but the word mansion conveys riches and wealth to the modern mind. Jesus was simply trying to say that there would be room for everybody who has claimed him as Savior and as Lord. Now, it's kind of ironic. When the Son of God came to earth, there was no room for him in the Bethlehem Inn. But when we get to heaven, we won't have to worry about no vacancy signs. Second, the second thing that Jesus told us about heaven is that reservations are required. That is for everybody except children. Kids get a free pass. Everybody else has to have a reservation. Jesus said, "I go to prepare a place for you, and when I come again and receive you, I will receive you." In other words, Jesus goes ahead of us to book our reservation. In the New Testament Greek, he is called forerunner, a Greek word which in military setting refers to reconnaissance patrols that go ahead and prepare the way for the main body of troops. The moment that we confess our sins and declare our faith, Jesus as our Savior and Lord, our place in heaven are set aside. No confirmation number needed. The heavenly computer never breaks down. You don't even have to prepay the first night. Jesus paid the total bill on Calvary's cross. Our reservations are offered by grace and received by faith. A thief who died beside Jesus made his heavenly reservations during his last moments. He said simply, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." Our Lord replied, "Today you will be with me in paradise." Now that thief was mighty fortunate. It's terribly risky to wait until the last minute to make important reservations. If you plan to visit in Paris, now I don't mean Paris, I mean Paris in France, not Paris in Tennessee. You wouldn't wait till a day or so before leaving to make reservations. Neither does it make sense to postpone one's eternal reservation, especially since you don't know the date of your departure. The third thing we learn about heaven is the route or path taken in order to get there. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but by me." Now let's just suppose that you are a stranger and in need to find the city hall. There are three ways someone could help you. I could give you verbal instructions. A second and better way would be to draw you a map. The very best help I could offer would be to personally escort you to the city hall. Jesus Christ offers us a personal escort to heaven. To commit oneself to Christ and to follow him as Lord is to be on the road to heaven. And when each of us approaches heaven doors, Jesus will announce to us to the throne and announce us to the throne in heaven. "This is my child. I died for him or her. I am this person's sponsor." If you ever wonder or not whether you're on your way to heaven, just ask this question. Just ask yourself this question. Am I in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord? If the answer is yes, you're on track. Here is the fourth and final thing you need to know about heaven. The atmosphere is awesome. In Revelation 21, a disciple named John saw a vision of heaven. He called it the city of God. The poor man was verbally stressed for fine description adjectives, awesome enough. He wrote of streets of gold, city walls adorned with every kind of precious stone, 12 gates of pearl. The place was radiant with the glory of God. Compared to heaven, Tiffany's resembled a Kmart Blue Light special. Now, I don't know if some of you are a lot younger than I am. I don't know if you know what a Kmart Blue Light special is or not, but when you went into Kmart, probably on a weekend or a special day, they had a cart they pushed around with a big long stem on top with a blue light on. And they went out for specials and they turned that light on flashing so you know where to get there. But that K-Light special, that Tiffany's resembled that K-Mart special blue light. It didn't resemble anything of God's heaven. Let's try to describe heaven in different terms. Imagine a place where no one is ever sick. Each person is valued and makes a contribution. Every child is loved and affirmed. Not a single person is addicted or prejudiced or greedy. Imagine a place where there is plenty of food and living space for everybody and no one grumbles about the food or the decor. Picture a world in which Chinese and former Americans can't remember which was which. Language and praises are heard constantly. You get up each morning eager to be busy doing right. Every day is spent helping others and it's great fun. The glory of God is so pervasive that you can hardly restrain a song, and even I will have a great baritone voice when I get there. I hope the Lord may have something to say about that. Banished from this paradise are worry and grief and jealousy and frustration and lust and anger. You go to bed thinking that life can't be any better than this, but in the morning it is. Now, if some cynic tells you that thinking about heaven is hopelessly sentimental, tell that person this. Only when I have my long-term future secured can I live fully in the present. I don't know my final destination. If I don't know my final destination, I'll be mighty confused along the way. The most significant thing we can do on earth are to claim Christ as our Lord, share him with others, and try to make this world look more like heaven. But we must remember, while that is this world, what this world is going to, now we must remember that sometime this world is going to go up in flames. So even a Swiss bank account should not be placed where you place your values. Our real treasure should be sent ahead to heaven. We are just transients here. Our real home is on the other side of death, on the Easter side of the cemetery. In heaven, there is a place for every believer. Reservations are required. The route to heaven is clear, and the atmosphere is awesome. Now let me close with a true story from my book entitled Moments for Mothers. The Rogers family was a strong Christian unit. Mr. Rogers took seriously his role as spiritual leaders. Often at supper, the family would have a Bible quiz or discuss some spiritual truth. One evening, the family was discussing what heaven will be like, and seven-year-old Jimmy grabbed his subject and ran with it, and he had a very great creative imagination. Jimmy said, "When we get to heaven, the big angel will call the Lord. He will come to the Rogers family and say, 'Daddy Rogers,' and Daddy will say, 'Here.' Then the angel will call Mommy Rogers, and Mommy will say, 'Here.' And then the same for Susie and Matt Mavis. And then the angel will call my name, Jimmy Rogers. Because I'm little and don't want to be missed, I will jump up and shout real loud, 'Here, here.' I'm sorry, I'm having a hard time with this part of this. I was told this morning about two friends of mine. One guy, just last evening, prayed for him this morning. And another one was my supervisor when I worked at the university. So I'm really having a hard time with this part. Forgive me for this. But just before dawn, just a few days later, there was a tragic accident. A car struck Jimmy as he was making his way to the school bus. He was rushed to the hospital in critical condition. The family gathered around his bed and kept a prayerful vigil all night through. The doctor told them that he had suffered severe brain damage, could not recover. Just before dawn, Jimmy seemed to stir just a bit. The family saw his lips move. Just one word was all he uttered before he passed from this life. But oh, what comfort and hope that word gave for this grieving family. In a voice clear enough for everyone in the room to hear, Jimmy said, 'Here.' And then he was gone. To another world, to a better world, where a big angel was calling the roll. if you ever wondered whether or not you're on the way to heaven, just ask this question. Am I in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, my Savior and Lord? If the answer is yes, fashion each of us with unique gifts that together makes the body of Christ whole. Let us give out of our time, our talents, and our treasures. Amen. God who made heaven and earth has created us in God's glorious image. Come to God's banquet table and partake of God's self. Remember the blessings we have received and the blessings we are called to.